and starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Today we are thinking about being welcoming. Those of us who worship here regularly have been thinking together over the past few months about what sort of church God is calling us to be, about what values lie at the heart of our life together and how God is calling us to display those values in our relationships with him, with one another, and with the world. We've spent time thinking about being Christ-centered, discipling and a family, what it means to be generous. We spent 2 weeks on being missional, 1 week talking about it, and last week we went and did it. And it's been really good this week for me to hear some stories of what happened as you went out into the town last week and shared the good news and the love of Jesus with those you met. In a couple of weeks, we're going to pick up again about thinking about worship. We're going to do 2 weeks on worship. On the 26th of June, it's an all-age service, and we're going to be exploring different ways of worshiping together. And then on the 3rd of July, we'll be looking at what Scripture has to say about what worship is and why it is integral for us as the people of God. And then from the 3rd to the 10th of July, we're going to have a week of prayer. I hope it's in your diary. We're going to pray each day into the values and what God might have to say to us about them. And then there'll be the time at the end of that week to share what God has been saying to us and to begin to dream dreams about the days and weeks and months and years ahead as we step into God's vision for our church. But today we must talk about welcome. And I want to start by naming reality. At our Values Day in January, we spoke about how welcome, inclusivity, community, acceptance, respect were important to God and to us. But the truth is that churches generally have a lot of work to do in order to be welcoming. Here is something for you to ponder. Can we really claim to be welcoming to everyone if everyone doesn't know that they are welcome? I have met so many people that have a genuine fear of stepping into a church building. The number of people I've spoken to who will make jokes, I stand outside a church building on the threshold and they make jokes about, oh, I can't go in there, I'll be struck down. And they're making a joke, they're trying to be funny, but there is something underneath that joke where they genuinely don't think that they should step in, whether it's that they don't feel like they're good enough or they don't feel like they believe the right things or they're worried about what they might say or do while they're there. There is a profound unease. There are many people in our nation who would not step foot into a church unless they are forced, who would not engage with a church group if they had any choice. The church is seen by so many as being outdated and irrelevant at best, and judgmental, condemning, and hostile at worst. Many people outside of the walls of this building do not know that they would be welcome were they to come in through the door. They don't feel like the church would welcome them because of who they are or what they've done or what they believe. To call ourselves welcoming, it is not enough to stay in here and smile nicely. We need to be able to change the minds and hearts of people who are not here about who Jesus is and what his church is like. If people don't think that they are welcome, then I'm not sure we're being welcoming enough. It's wonderful we have these glass doors that people can see in. But even now, to get into this worship service, you have to open a closed door. I understand why, because, you know, it might get a bit breezy in here if we left them open all the time. But I wonder what that says about how welcome people really are to join us. As we talk and think this morning, I say we, as I talk and you think this morning, I want you to bear in mind this question. Who is at the table? Our regional minister, Hayley Young, she's currently the president of the Baptist Union, and the theme for her presidential year is building a bigger table. She is in the habit of asking people, who is missing from your table? Who is welcome? Who doesn't feel welcome? Who do we need to make space for? Who is at the table of the Lord in your church? So, you can all think about that question. Who is at the table? And whilst you think about that, I've got four questions that I want to talk to you briefly about. Why should we welcome? There they are. Why should we welcome? Who should we welcome? What should we welcome to? And how should we welcome? Why, who, what, and how? And I hope that covers about all the bases. Why should we welcome? The short answer, and there is a really short answer, is that the reason we should welcome is because God does and because the Bible tells us to. But being a preacher, I'm going to expand on the short answer a bit because no preachers like short answers. In Romans 5, we are told that Jesus showed his love for us, died for us while we were still sinners, unworthy, undeserving. John 1 tells us that all who believe in his name are given the right to become his children, adopted into his family. Deuteronomy 10 tells us that God defends the cause of the fatherless and widow and loves the foreigner. Our God invites us to his table and welcomes all who would come. His welcome is without prejudice. We do not need to live up to a certain standard in order to be invited. We don't need to look or think a certain way for him to open his arms to us. And a great and powerful example, I think, is Jesus at the Last Supper. Jesus, who welcomed fishermen and tax collectors, outcasts, prostitutes and sinners. Jesus sat down and he presided over that incredibly significant meal in the upper room. And to his table in that place, he welcomed men who would abandon him and one who would hand him over to die. That day he knelt and washed the feet of his betrayer. Can't get over how powerful that is. That welcome of Christ, even to Judas, knowing what would happen. To sit and eat. Now, don't get me wrong, God welcomes us exactly as we are. He welcomes us all wherever we're at. But he doesn't expect us to stay that way. One of our other values is discipleship, isn't it? And I spoke briefly at our prayer meeting on Wednesday about how Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who was immoral and unloved, exploiting others for his own gain. Jesus welcomed him exactly as he was, but through his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus changed. All are welcome. We all are invited to come. But being part of the family of God also means that we should expect, and we should expect others to be transformed. Praise God for that. I don't want a God who leaves me as I am. I want a God who pulls me on to be something better, to be closer to his vision of what I can be. This welcome is the example set before us in Scripture. And there is a command too. Romans 15 calls us to accept one another with the same open arms that Jesus has shown us. Hebrews 13 encourages us to be hospitable to everyone. Jesus' teaching in Matthew 25 that we heard earlier demands that we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give drink to the thirsty, visit the captive, that we offer welcome, hospitality, love to those in need. And that passage is a stark reminder that this sort of loving response to people, having open arms and hearts to those in need, is integral to belonging to Jesus. And I guess that leads me on to my second question, who should we welcome? And again, there's a short answer. The short answer is everyone. And again, there's a long answer too. In Luke 14, Jesus is talking to people about who to invite when you host a banquet. If you're having a feast, who's invited to the table? Who can come to your feast? And he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It's easy to welcome, to be hospitable, to care for those who are like us and those that we like. It is easy to do this for those that we may expect to show us kindness in return. But our call is to go beyond the easy welcome. Time and again throughout the Bible, God shows particular care for those that others might ignore. For the most in need, for the poor and outcast, for the foreigner, the unclean, the unloved. Jesus made it his mission to spend time with, to share a table with people that others refused to go anywhere near. He was regularly condemned for those he welcomed into his presence. And it's not because the poor and the needy and the desperate are of any more worth than anyone else. But it's because everyone deserves to be welcomed and loved, right? And so those who are not being welcomed and loved by others, who don't have those loving relationships in their lives, those are the ones that Jesus went to. Those are the ones that we are called to pay particular attention to. We are called to welcome everyone, but like Jesus, I think we're called to make a special effort to welcome and care and love for those most in need, those that others ignore, to invite through our doors those that others would want kept out, the homeless, the drunks, the prostitutes, the loud and obnoxious, the foreigner and stranger, the young and the old, to give hope and dignity and a voice to those that our society silences. We were having a meeting here one evening a few months back. I think it was the first prayer meeting we had for Ukraine. And as we were finishing, a bunch of, you know, they must have been in their early teens, about 12, 13-year-olds, sort of tore in through the door and tore back out again in a whirlwind. One of them might have stopped to use the loo. And I could see people, and there were people from all the churches in town here, but I could see some people and the uncomfortable look in their faces at these small bolts of lightning dashing round the building when we'd been here for a prayer meeting about something very serious. And it just made me think what those young people thought of what we were doing in here. And whether they thought that they would be welcome to come and join us. And indeed, had they come and joined us for prayer, how we might have coped with that. One of the words that came up a few times during our vision day was inclusive. And I guess there are all sorts of things that this could mean, and it certainly means welcoming all sorts of people into our church family. But I think it goes beyond just a superficial welcome. Imagine a ball of red Play-Doh, right? You've got a big ball of red Play-Doh in your hand, and someone comes along and they give you a piece of blue Play-Doh, and they ask you to include it in your ball of red, right? And you can, it's possible, but as you work the blue piece into the red, something's going to happen, isn't it? The ball of Play-Doh is going to start to take on a purple tinge. You see, an inclusive welcome means that we will need to change. If we end up welcoming a whole host of people that don't speak English, we might have to start having our languages our services in a different language. If we welcome homeless people into our church family, we may have to change the way in which we as a church spend our money and use our buildings in order to support and care for them. It means thinking about how accessible parts of our building are to those with physical disabilities, thinking about how accessible our services and activities are for those whose brains and bodies work differently from ours. It's like in the book of Acts, right, the apostles were wrestling with how Gentiles could possibly be welcomed, could be included into the church. And initially, they want them to become just like Jews, to go off and get circumcised before they can come in and to obey all the purity laws. But in the end, the apostles decided that the church as a whole needed to change, rather than demanding that the Gentiles change to be like the church as it was. And a true welcome, I think, true inclusion, means allowing others to be a full part of our church family. And being a full part of church family means playing a role in shaping who we are and what we do. To welcome others means to be changed by them. My third question, because I'm sure you've forgotten by now, was what should we be welcoming them to? We know why we're welcoming people. We know who we're welcoming. But what are we welcoming them to? Maybe this should have been my first question, actually. That might have made more sense. I've got three answers. You can see them there. We welcome them to a place, a person, and a purpose. Look at that. Who says I can't do a traditional sermon? 3 points, they all start with the same letter. To return to the start of my message this morning, the first thing we welcome people to is a place. And that place isn't a church building, it is the table of the Lord, right? The table of the Lord, which is a sign and a symbol. It reminds us of the altar and the most holy place. It reminds us of the very near presence of God with his people. It reminds us of the heavenly feast offered to God's people. It is the table of the kingdom of God. It is the place where we remember Jesus, where we encounter him. The table, the communion table. And it shouldn't just be this big wooden thing that we have in church and we use to put some bread and wine on once a month. We should be welcoming people to all sorts of tables, to kitchen tables and dining tables, to pub and restaurant and coffee shop tables, to picnic tables, to places of hospitality where we share food together and we share life together. To places where we gather in the name of Jesus to worship him and remember him and to journey together with him. The table is a symbol, right? The center for the church together, to gather around and to share fellowship. And when we gather around the table to share fellowship with one another and with Christ, it should never be a place where the chairs are limited or the circle is closed. We welcome people to a place, to a table, be it a table here in our church buildings or in our homes or elsewhere. We welcome to the table of the Lord because ultimately we are welcoming people into the presence of a person. We offer them a welcome as they come to encounter God. We are saying that we are the family of God. Come and meet our Father. Come and meet our Saviour. Come and meet the Helper. And we welcome people into a purpose, to be included, to be part of something. We don't welcome people to a show, to come and watch, but rather to come and to be a part. To join the family of God and play a role in his kingdom. I've run out of time already, but I've got at least another half an hour's worth of stuff to tell you, so I hope you're comfy. Finally, how do we welcome? And some of this is about what we believe God is saying to us, to Whitley Bay Baptist Church. We believe that God calls us to be truly welcoming and inclusive, integrating new people into our family in a way that enables them to flourish. We want to build a bigger table so that there is room here for everyone. Building a bigger table means making sure there is always room for everyone. It means looking around and asking, who is not at our table? What sort of people exist in our community that are not represented in our church? And why are they not here? Is it because we have not been as welcoming towards them as we might be? Because they feel excluded, shunned, or unwelcome? And what do we do about that? How do we go about making sure there's room for everyone? You know, in another parable, Jesus talks about the host sending his servant to drag people off the street in order that they might be welcomed at his feast. All those who didn't even know they were invited, to drag them in. I'm not advocating physically dragging people into our worship services. Please don't do that. But there is something about whether our welcome is passive or active, right? About whether we are just passive here waiting with a smile on our faces so that when anyone comes in, they feel really welcomed having walked through the door. Or whether our welcome is active, where we go out in order to welcome in. Where we venture beyond our walls and offer a welcome into the kingdom of God that maybe doesn't even mean people coming into the building, but introducing people to our Father. Being truly welcoming and inclusive means integrating new people. It means not just chatting to your friends after the service each week, but getting to know others too. It means that we have to integrate people. It means that if someone turns up one week and has a real gift for leading reggae worship, we find space for them to lead us that way, even if we don't like reggae. It means allowing those we welcome to shape us, allowing God to change us through them. It means listening to what God wants to say to us through them, not closing our minds and our hearts and our practices to what they have to bring. Being truly welcoming means creating an environment in which everyone can flourish. That goes back again, doesn't it, to our value of discipleship. Welcoming people as they are for who they are, but recognizing that none of us are how God wants us to be. And that those we welcome can grow and learn in Christ by being part of our church family. And that we too can grow and learn in Christ through their presence with us. As we think about welcome, inclusion, love, I want to share these verses from Romans 12. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We believe that every member of our church family is called to play a role in realizing all of our values. We believe God is calling us to journey together in a spirit of adventure, to try new things, to take risks, to not be afraid to fail, and where possible, to have fun doing it. It is our job, it is all of our jobs, to welcome those that God will send us, to go out into the streets and offer a welcome to others, to be willing to change and adapt in order to welcome people into his kingdom, into his presence, to his table. To not be afraid of turning a little bit purple. I wonder how we can offer people a better welcome when they come into our buildings and the life of our church. I wonder who is missing from our table. I wonder how you can offer them a better welcome into the family of God. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that yours is an open table, that you invite all to come and to see. That you ask us to come and to be part of your family. You have drawn us to yourself. And I pray, Father God, that in our interactions with others and with one another, we might do justice to that welcome. That we might show others that heart of love that invites people to come and to play a part, to be a part of your family, of your kingdom, of your church. That, Father, our welcome might extend to everyone, no matter who they are or what they have done or what they believe. And that it might be a welcome that desperately, lovingly wants people to flourish and doesn't leave anyone where they are, but helps us to all to become more like Christ. That you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please do stay for a cup of tea, a coffee and a biscuit as we close. And if you would like prayer as the service finishes, if you come and sit just at the front of church on this side, someone will be available to pray with you. But let me leave you with these words. As you go from this place, go and remember that wherever you are the church of Christ. Welcome those that you meet. Share hospitality. Gather around tables. Share Jesus. Be prepared to see lives changed, not least your own. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit go with you and be with you in all you do. Amen. Thank you.